Okay, so I'm Christopher Cook. You want it switching on?
No, because they
you want me to hang it under my chin? Okay, so I know how to comply eventually. It just takes me a while. This has been quite a journey for me, and I'm here at the conference because I'm really keen to provide some insight into what we've learned over the last 20 years. My experience in the application of an integral perspective goes back over that lifespan, and I've got many stories to tell, but I'm not going to tell them today, because I want to focus on probably the most significant conversation in the room, which is about how do we support the major leap that great Claire Graves spoke about. So I need to just do a check. How many of you are trained formally in spiral dynamics? Show of hands. Okay. How many of you read the book Spiral Dynamics? How many of you are aware of the Graves technology, the primary research behind spiral dynamics? Okay, good. Can I have another hour and a half, please? So we're going to use metaphors and images to get a message across, and I'm not going to, given the time I've got, I'm just going to give you an overview of a method we use, which is applicable to self, to other, from a coaching perspective, or you can use the same framework at any scale. And we've gone right the way through to a national level with this conversation, and I'm really keen for you to take it, replicate it, and discover what you can do with it. I really want you to do that. You may. Yes, you may. So what I've done over the last 20 years is kind of synthesize everything I can discover, and that applies not only theoretically but practically in the application of an integral perspective. I made a decision back in 1998 that my primary focus was enabling human emergence. Sounds very grandiose when I say that. But today what I'm going to draw upon is the two frameworks that I currently work with that I believe can go anywhere into any context, and they are part of the new generation of metaframes that we are talking about here in the room. So those of you down the left-hand side who are familiar with spiral dynamics, you'll see there that I'm using the bottom lines of spiral dynamics, from basic needs through trust, respect, security, profit, people, purpose, and planet, accepting that we're barely out of adolescence as a species. Graves, in his original research, postulated that we as a species, with our given density and body mass, have a capacity for between 18 and 24 stages of development. So we're really in the early stages as we have this conversation. So I'm going to draw from these metaframes, and my spiral bookcase reminds me that the intelligence is not in the book on the bookshelf or in the model on the bookshelf. The intelligence is in the bookshelf, being able to look back in and choose which method, approach, and so on to use in a given context. And that's largely what we're going to cover today. You'll also notice there's some little boxes and models there. Now, those could be models from the past, so there's been lots of reference to earlier cultural models and norms. It could equally be new models or new approaches that are yet to be formalised. And I'm hoping that all of you in the room that are holding on to something that you've not told anybody else about so far, you bring it out and put it on the bookshelf. On the left-hand side, you've got a variant of the original Gravesian design equation. It was called a design question, design equation. And I've reframed it to fit the context, because the complexity we're learning to deal with does require an integral stance. Many of the conversations that I'm in, I've just come from one, are because we're trying to use methods and practices that do not have the capacity to handle the complexity. That's proved theoretically, and you can go and prove it practically. From an integral stance, how does this tool, method, or approach create the appropriate life conditions for whom to do what, why, where, when, how, and with what consequences? To be quite honest, in the application of an integral perspective, that's really all you need. Because you can go anywhere. And Graves used the metaphor of the plumb bob to say, look, if I'm focused on this particular issue, I hold the plumb bob over it, and away we go. And a lot of what we're going to learn today is that you can hold the plumb bob over yourself, and that's the essential first step of any work that we do together. So today, as I stand here, we're pretty invisible in what we do. Why? Because we're so focused on making sure that when we surface above the parapet, we've got something to offer. So I'm just showing this to show the lineage of the theory that we're drawing upon and going back to some of the voices and some of the people that demonstrated integral awareness on the planet from the 1920s onwards. So Jan Smuts, for example, was the former Prime Minister of South Africa, actually led the creation of the Commonwealth of Nations. So if any of the theoretical frameworks we're working with here around human development have any validity, we can go out onto the planet and find little pockets of second-tier thinking. And that's all I've done for the last 20 or so years. I feel old when I say that. So we're going to go from universe down to us in the room here. And I just want to show you this. This is the Ouroboros. It's an image used by Primack and Abrams. Nancy Abrams is a psychologist. Joel Primack is one of the founders of what we call double dark theory. I was holding back on how to phrase that. The double dark theory, and basically what it's saying, look, there's some really interesting stuff going on in the universe, because did you realise, in terms of scale, that humans, in terms of our physical form and stature, we're exactly halfway between the largest known form, which is the leading edge gamma wave radiation imagery that's been mapped through the deep space probes, and the smallest known form, which takes you back to CERN and some of the conversations on the quarks. So we live in this enormous scale in universe, and we have a privileged position because we can now look back in and see it and start to make sense of it. So we can see things that no one's ever been able to be seen before. Now, one of the challenges I kept coming across with Ken and others was that everyone was talking about soul. And I remember Ken distinctly saying one day, a number of years ago, it was when Integral Spirituality was being published, without the soul, most of this is irrelevant. I thought, well, damn it, I know it's true, I know it's important, I'm going to bring it in and see how it go on. So I started another experiment with my wife in 2012, and this is what's come out of it. It's strange, but true. So I want you to test it. So we're in the room, we're going to experiment with a bit of what's called solonic practice. It is an integral practice. It's inspired by a metaframe. The primary purpose is the emergence of the solon, and it's a marriage of two terms, soul and holon. So yesterday we heard the language of holarchy, and that's derived from the language of holism. So we're experiencing the experience in this room. We've got an impression that nature functions in wholes, universe functions in wholes, and we're part of that. And there are no parts in terms of the conversation. So it's the emergence of the soul and solon, as a processional effect. If we focus on something, it ain't likely to happen. Who's familiar with Buckminster Fuller? Look for the emergent integral thinkers. One of his six principles was to focus on the processional effect. Whatever you're focused on, you're determined to make it happen, and so on and so forth. The universe doesn't function like that. If you're like squeezing a toothpaste tube and it's blocked and you want to squeeze it, squirts out the hole, that's a processional effect. The real change occurs at about 90 degrees to what you were intending. So a lot of truths this morning about stepping into that space of not knowing. So the term holon is used to describe a discrete intelligence. In this context, with you all today, it's a human being, a whole unto yourselves, and a standing wave of the all. Each of you are more unique than your fingerprints. Within you are patterns and processes that have taken 14 billion years to work out how to get us into the room. So it's taken 14 billion years for this little conversation to happen, this event to happen. Now, the soul's a bit more challenging. I couldn't find a way of language in this until I went for a walk in Australia a number of years ago. And the soul, which is also a discrete intelligence, is like the expression of a song in a cosmic songline. So I took the Aboriginal songlines and I lifted it to a universe stance, which arguably they were doing already. The soul, a discrete intelligence, is like the expression of a song in a cosmic songline, creating a bridge between holon and spirit, where spirit is both the original song and the invitation to sing. That really means universe isn't finished yet. Perhaps we've got a role to play in that. I certainly believe that. So we're working with the art and science of humanness, messy as it is, and some of you will be familiar with the images of Graves technology on the left. What many people don't realise is that when Graves started to map these nested hierarchies, he had to develop new language in the field of psychology. So here's an image of psychological space in psychological time. So when we're talking about Chronos or Kairos, as we heard this morning, this is God's time. This is universe time. In terms of these patterns on the left, they emerge as and when the life conditions require it, or, secondly, when the species may choose it. And I want to keep that open. The more modern version that we're using today is the imagery of the Solon. Why? Because I wanted to bring in some of the language of field that Graves was writing about in the 1970s, and it's some of the little-known areas of his work. So for us to thrive on the planet today and for us to be coaches, we need to understand that it's the relationship between the life conditions around us and the priorities that these deep intelligences within us can cope with. Graves called them the coping means, and I'm using that terminology again. I find it the cleanest language I can find. So the coping means, the intelligences, the complex adaptive intelligences within us, equip us to be able to respond with priorities. This is universe speaking through us, habituated patterns of intelligence that can thrive when the life conditions match, but equally can respond and ratchet to a new level of complexity should the life conditions change for natural causes, or latterly because we choose to change the life conditions faster than nature can respond. So just scan down the life conditions. Scan down the coping mean priorities. What are the life conditions that reflect your understanding of your context? So the reason Ken got excited about Claire Graves' work was it was primary research into a biopsychocultural social systems perspective. There was a total one-to-one mapping between the two points of view. But Graves was mapping not four boxes, he was mapping fields where these fields of the coping means pervade simultaneously across all four dimensions. And the same applies, it's one of my earliest learnings with this work, is that we need some three-dimensional imagery in this conversation. So if you imagine that this little trefoil knot here in the centre is to describe, as best we understand it, the primary dynamic of the singularity or the Big Bang 14 billion years ago or so. If you put your finger on this image and push, 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 you'll go all the way back 14 billion years. And you'll pass through all forms of wonderful life forms because we can map all of this. But that we can map it shows we are all of this. So this image is not just a tick on the page. It's an expression of an unfolding of one turn of a toroidal form, which arguably is the most complex form that we know in universe. It's the basis of all life. Also core fractal of consciousness, but that could lead to a bigger debate. So the reason we're here, and I'm going to give you some handouts to go and practice the integral critique. The critique is designed to sit here. It's designed to find a way through something that's challenging. Would someone like to read the text off of Graves' text, Bring It Alive, not my voice? Someone must want to leap up and do it. Go for it.
Humans must prepare for a momentous leap. It is not merely a transition to a new level of existence, but the start of a new movement in the symphony of human history.
Okay, so it's a major leap. Did you get a tingle up and down your spine when you heard those words? How did you get a sense of the truth? But also we have to ask the questions, are the life conditions there to support this transition? They've been there for a long time. I don't think saving the planet's big enough, because we ain't doing it yet. It's because the critical mass of second-tier thinking has not actually got into places of influence. And so at the moment, we're struggling to break through, to to handle the complexity. We're struggling to break through because while wherever we stay with the language of circular economy, we actually reinforce that membrane. Now, for many people, it drives them crazy because these latent capacities of second tier are opening up. I work with all sectors, and the joy for me is when I'm working with farmers, and after 15, 20 minutes of using something similar to this, they go, thank God I'm not going crazy. That's been the consistent signature of those who are ready for the conversation. And the sad thing is, it doesn't need an integrally informed individual to recognise that we know what needs to happen. This is from Australia after the 30-year drought. That was a wicked problem. Conventional agriculture fell over. The handling of wicked problems requires holistic rather than linear thinking, and there is an ever-present danger in handling wicked issues that are handled too narrowly. So the framework that I'm offering you today is designed to handle the wicked problems. Now, we can hold the plumb bob over ourselves, and I've probably got about minus 30 seconds. How am I doing? You told me 5 minutes. I've got 3 minutes. Oh, you wouldn't believe what I can do in 3 minutes. What is one issue you wish to examine today? So imagine you're working out in the field or you want to hold the plumb bob over yourself. Choose a situation and just run through this. Just go with me. We don't need paperwork to do this, although I'll give you a copy afterwards. And the first step in really engaging the capacity to handle complexity is to stimulate our integral awareness. Now, who's familiar with their cosmic address? Okay. Have a read of Integral Spirituality from, was it 2006? That was such a fun time, and finally we had the language to describe your own unique centre of gravity, which is a function of your perspective, your stage of development, and your state, and it all came together in a wonderful conversation. So all my training is very simple. I just teach people to discover their cosmic address because that is the most significant truth that we can work with today. So be aware of my cosmic address. What are my biases and gaps? How many of you know that each stage has its unique biases? All the conversations in this conference are expressions and concerns about the innate biases of the earlier stages of development that we're not yet in this conference able to handle because we don't realize they're a natural innate consequence of the worldview dynamic that speaks through us. These complex adaptive intelligences each have biases and patterns. And the second question is, what's really important to you about this topic or issue? Is it David? What's your name at the back?
David.
I'd spoke to David. David's really got a passionate issue. Can I stop him? No. He comes out and asks questions. But I will go to the end of the earth to work with people like this because that's what we need. We need curious minds because what's important to you about this topic or issue is going to be one of the primary ways in which we navigate through. So cosmic address, you'll find it in Wilbur. Cosmic address, you'll find it in a different form in Spiral Dynamics. It's all in there because it's the basis of the work of the Gravesian point of view. Graves was saying, be clear who your understanding of who you are, what your strengths and biases are before you step out. I must have minus 1 minute now. So I'm going to finish with something that will take about a minute. Is that okay? Because I have certain hope in an uncertain world. I've seen enough around the place to know that we need to find ways to help each and every one of us in this room navigate this transition. And I include myself in that conversation. And I realise that sometimes we need to do things a bit differently. And I know we like lots of movement in this conference. So I want to give you some movement. So this is Waking Tiger greeting dawn. And I'm going to invite you to share it with me because this is the impression that you will receive when you discover how to step through that worldview membrane and discover how to utilize the integral critique I'm going to give you so that you're more informed and more aware of the important distinctions that will inform all of your decisions. So, I've got to use the microphone. I'm going to demonstrate it. Waking Tiger greeting dawn. Waking Tiger has paws in front of eyes. Wow! As though you're seeing the earth for the first time. And you draw in the wisdom of the cosmos, all the wisdom of the universe and the multiverses, and integrate it into self, into your heart, and integrate. And then when you're ready and you've taken every ounce of learning out of this moment, you let it go. Just have a go.
Okay.
waking tigers. So if you find yourself in any moments of difficulty, or please practice when you're going for lunch when you can't find the menu dish you want on the buffet. Open your eyes. Look at the world as if you've never seen it before. Draw in the wisdom of you. Draw it all in to the center of your being. Integrate. Take every ounce of learning out of this moment. And when you're ready, let it go.